magical place we could go. So close your eyes and make a wish for the skies with the angriest, flappiest birds, and the seas with ridiculous fish. The Dutch Arcade Show is here again. It's Friday night and I'm with my friends Eli, Jerry, and Mike most of the time. Come on, let's go to the Dutch Arcade Show.
Hey guys, what's up? You're listening to the Touch Arcade Show. This is episode number... I really should have checked this before I started recording. 378.
That's what I was going to say.
Recording live on Friday, November 30th at about 3:30 in the afternoon Central Time. Sorry we missed last week's episode. You know, Thanksgiving, Black Friday. I was out of town. Dumped all my credit card points and miles to go on a cool trip. Yeah, how was your Thanksgiving?
It was lovely.
Yeah. Did you do anything cool?
No, went to my sister's. She lives in the Bay Area, and got to see my nephew, who's just over one now and is doing all sorts of amazing things. And that was kind of it. It was cool.
It always kind of wigs me out when people's kids... that people that have babies, like, they stop becoming babies and start becoming like little creatures with a personality.
Yes, it's a big weird change.
It's like, whoa, I don't even know what to make of this anymore.
Yeah.
So I know you're in the kind of Northern California area. How's the fire/air quality sitch these days?
It got good because it finally rained a bunch last week and this week too, and so the air's, as far as I know, back to normal. It doesn't smell like a campfire every time you step outside.
Yeah.
And yeah, it's good. We needed the rain.
Did you use my tip for a makeshift HEPA filter?
No, our indoors was pretty okay, but I do need to check my air filters because I'm sure we replace them when you're supposed to, whatever, 3 months, and I'm sure it's just shot to hell even before the time it's ready to be changed.
Yeah. Well, since forest fires, I guess, are the new normal in the United States. Here's a neat tip that I've heard a lot of people had good luck with. So you get if you're having problems with like air quality in your house, and I guess this doesn't necessarily even have to be a fire related thing, but like you go to Walmart or whatever and buy like the you know, just like $15 like box fan, like the cheapest fan they make, which are a 20x20 fan, which is also the same size as a furnace filter.
Mm-hmm.
So you put that on the back side and you like get duct tape to kind of like seal around it. And then like the fan sucks air through the filter and you get something that, so you buy like, you know, the $15 filter,
mm-hmm.
You know, that's supposed to like, you know, filter out smoke and things like that. And for like $30, you've got a filter that is probably going to do pretty good.
It'd probably be scary to see all the stuff that gets taken out of your air.
Well, yeah, that's exactly why we bought. There was one of those filters for sale at Costco a month or two ago that we picked up, and yeah, it is kind of nuts. Like, so our filter has a pre-filter that's kind of just like the screen, and then there's a charcoal filter that's supposed to like remove like stink, which I don't know if it really does. And then like the actual HEPA filter, and just the very first filter, it says you're supposed to vacuum every 2 weeks, and I was like, that seems crazy. And so 2 weeks I opened the thing up to vacuum it and it was like cat hair, like just 100% cat hair and like other random crap. And I was like, oh man, I had no idea. I was just like breathing this.
Yeah.
It's kind of scary. But anyway, I don't know. Just a good tip. It's like usually when bad shit like that happens, it seems like everyone rushes to the store and, you know, like when you have a bad storm, everyone buys a generator and there's no generators. Mm-hmm. And so like, if you have fire problems, everyone goes and buys an air filter or air purifier, but furnace filters are plentiful, so just the more you know.
Hot tip.
Anyway, believe it or not, this podcast isn't about just hot life hacks, as many of those I do have to share. It's also the iOS Games podcast. We record every Friday, except last week because of the holiday and other extenuating circumstances. You can also check out TouchArcade.com for the latest and greatest in iOS gaming news and kind of Android stuff too, I guess. We have a Patreon at patreon.com/toucharcade. We've got Amazon kind of portal set up at toucharcade.com/Amazon. So if you're doing any holiday shopping, we'd really appreciate if you do it through that. We got a Discord at discord.gg/toucharcade, which is a cool place to hang out, talk to other iOS gamers. Actually message the mods of the iOS gaming subreddit, because there was like, I don't know, I there's like some drama I was kind of trying to keep up on, where like the mods pulled everyone and were like, hey, do you guys want a Discord for this subreddit? And I saw that like a couple days after it happened. People were like, oh yeah, that'd be cool. And like a couple days later, they posted another thing that was like, yeah, we're not doing that. We don't have the bandwidth to moderate two things. So I sent them a DM. I was like, dude, if you guys want to just like, I don't care, like we can set up a channel for you, or like,
yeah,
like it doesn't matter, like we're all on the same page. So we'll see what happens with that, I guess, because like more the merrier. I honestly don't give a shit. We can rename the server like Touch Arcade plus ROS Gaming. I don't, doesn't make any difference to me. So anyway, that's what's been going on lately. So since we didn't record last week, let's hop in to get some of the, I kind of cherry picked what seemed like the bigger news stories from the week previous, so we can hit those real quick. So Death Row to Canada is now, well, as when we posted this, had an update coming. The update is now out, which has got the endless mode and a whole bunch of other super cool shit. If you're not playing Death Row to Canada yet, you really should.
I think one of the cool things about this update is there's a mode that lets you pick and choose a party from all the like super rare characters in the game. So if you're like one of those people who never able to like come across these rare characters or whatever, you have a chance to like check them out in this new mode called the overpowered party mode.
Yeah.
And that's pretty cool. And then an endless mode just sort of makes sense for the game too.
Yeah. The, I like the playing with the special characters thing, because I played this game a lot, and like when it came out on the Switch, I've been playing it way more, but like, I think in all the times I've played with it, I've come across like maybe two special characters.
Yeah.
One was the Link character, who had just like killer with the sword, and I don't remember who the other character was, but you know, also like super overpowered. But you know, the RNG in Death Row to Canada is a cruel god.
Yeah.
So just because you have the best character doesn't mean you're gonna do any better. So I dig that a lot. The quick death mode is super silly though. You know, the game is just like what they say, like triple difficulty, so you just like die instantly.
Yeah. I guess there's some people out there that might want that.
Yeah, I guess. But so most importantly, or I don't know, I always think it's cool when stuff like this gets added, but it added a 4-player couch co-op MFI controller support. So if you have spent upwards of $200 on MFI controllers, which seems kind of hard to believe anyone would have done that. Man, I even think that I would have trouble cobbling together 4 MFI controllers.
I definitely don't have 4 that still work.
Yeah, that's the thing. So I got the Nimbus on my desk here is like the primary controller I use. And I probably have a Stratus around somewhere. But wasn't there like drama with the firmware on that? So that might not work. I think I have a MOGA somewhere too. And that might be it.
It's kind of cool, though, that I think you can do that on the Switch version, right? You can have 4 players, tabletop mode or whatever.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, yeah. So this is like a Switchy sort of mode. Mm-hmm. If you have an iPad or something you can prop up, that would be cool.
Yeah, so that's really cool. I don't know. Rocket Cat makes awesome stuff. Always happy to support him and continue telling people about them. This wasn't a price goes up update, right? It's been $15 for a while,
yes,
hasn't it?
No, this was the last price update, and they actually waited. The update came out Thursday, and they didn't raise the price until this past Tuesday. But now it's $14.99, and it's going to stay there. Now it's price parity with the other versions. But that doesn't mean they don't have new updates planned for next year, because they say that they do, and they're not going to keep raising the price. So this is as expensive as it'll be. But it took a while to get there. This launched at like $8.99 or something.
I think that they should. Yeah. So if you're unfamiliar with the way that Rocket Cat handles their game pricing, they do a launch price, which I think that of all the developers, the way they handle pricing is by far the best. So they do a launch price, which, you know, is X dollars. And with each major update, they increase it $1. Right? They haven't jumped more than a buck, right?
I think it's been a buck every time. No, I think it's been a dollar every time, yeah.
With the idea being that when you bought the game, you know, they thought like, hey, this is an $8 game or whatever it launched at. And now that it's got, man, like going through the things they've added to this game, I don't even remember a lot of it. You know, all sorts of different modes for characters, like an achievement system.
So much stuff.
Overarching kind of like progression system. And now like the 4-player MFI controller support and everything else. Like each one of those things, they bump the price to a buck until they get to 15. I think it would be funny if they just kept like updating this game and kept increasing the price.
Yeah.
Just to be silly, like sometime like 4 years from now, it's like a $80 game.
Yeah. You like should have bought it when it came out, yeah. But you didn't.
But I like it because like it actually genuinely rewards people that get in like early on it.
It sets the opposite of what most people do, where it's like, okay, launch at a certain price, and then when a big update comes out, have like a huge sale, so that anybody that bought it previously, it's like, yeah, you got it earlier, and that's nice, and sometimes that's worth paying for. But everyone else is getting more better game for cheaper just by waiting around. So yeah. I don't know. It sort of incentivizes like, hey, buy this thing right away and you'll get the cheapest price and then we'll keep adding stuff to it.
Yeah. Yeah. So I don't know. We've talked about Death Row to Canada a million times on this podcast, and I would be shocked if anyone listening like at least hasn't tried it on some platform. So
yeah.
I don't know. So I posted this thing early last week that I thought was pretty cool. I just saw, I don't remember if I got linked in our Discord or something else. So this dude got a tattoo of a NES controller, but it's like a really kind of blocky sort of like QR code looking, stylized, I guess. And the neat thing about it is that he then built a thing that, like when he points his phone at it, it recognizes the tattoo, and then like renders like a super basic level of Sonic the Hedgehog on it. And like crazier yet, the controls and stuff work.
Yeah. It's a pretty wild thing. This is like a super living in the future kind of thing. I think my biggest problem with this is that it's an NES controller and then a Sonic game.
Yeah, someone jumped on him in the Twitter replies, and he was like, you know, he's like, look, you know, I just needed something big and blocky for the
AR stuff. Yeah, I guess the NES controller layout works better as like a QR code than a weird curvy Genesis controller. But I don't know, I would have probably went the extra mile to make a Mario level, but it is kind of neat. I mean, it's freaky to look at it through the AR lens and see this weird like 3D level just growing on this dude's arm.
Yeah. Yeah, it's pretty cool. I mean, just like imagine like, so stuff like this is very interesting to me for when you think about the future of AR to the point of like you just potentially just wearing like glasses that just render this shit in the real world. Although advertising is going to get very, very annoying.
Yeah.
I think. Speaking of which, I was talking to a friend of mine a couple days ago about how, I don't remember, like Back to the Future 2 came up. And you remember the first time you saw it as a kid? Like how it was like, man, screens everywhere. This is like, wow, that's really futuristic. Like you walk into a restaurant and there's like 20 TVs.
Yeah.
And now it's like, you go into like particularly like a sports bar or something, you have to watch a football game, and you're like, man, there's only 6 TVs. Like this fucking sucks. Yeah. Like let's get out of here.
Yeah.
Let's go to Buffalo Wild Wings where they have 50.
I feel like the AR Jaws ad in that movie is very similar to like all the AR stuff we're seeing.
Oh yeah,
now.
No, for real. Like that's also come. I feel like that's very soon. Like imagine. I mean, it's going to be an interesting problem to solve, right? Because when you think about how pervasive advertising has gotten, like particularly in even gadgets, I mean, like, you know, you can a lot of people opt to save, I think it's like $50 to get the Kindle with offers. So if you never heard of that, like, so Amazon makes the Kindle, like a series of Kindle devices, which originally were e-readers, and they kind of branched out into kind of like Android tablet sort of things. And basically across the line, you can either opt to pay full price, which most of them are not very expensive, particularly compared to the new iPads. But you can save around, you know, plus or minus $50 if you get the Kindle with offers. And all that means is like every time like instead of having wallpaper on your device, like you know, probably do with your phone now, like when you pick it up, it's like an ad for something.
Yeah.
And they use like all the Amazon, you know, account algorithm bullshit to like highly target those ads at you and stuff, which I don't know. I think that's but so anyway, it makes you wonder if in the future, like these AR glasses aren't going to be a similar thing where it's like, all right, you know, you can buy like the $1,000 pair, right? Or you can buy the $500 pair, but the catch is when the $500 pair sees like an anchor point for an ad, it's like
Yeah.
you get the Back to the Future Jaws
I'm
ad and stuff like
positive that,
that.
yeah, it's going to go that way for sure. And I remember looking into getting a new car. I forget how long ago this was, but there's like a service where you can get a car and they basically pay for it for you and you get to use it. But they just plaster it with their company logos and stuff like that. Like they skin the whole car out. And so
Oh,
you're basically
really?
driving around in a huge ad, but you get the car and you get to drive around in it. So
That can't be like the car for free, right? That
I don't
sounds like a.
remember if it's totally for free or if they you know, heavily discounted or something like that, but there's a program like that if you need a car.
What, man, that would be crazy. Like, what if you signed up for that and you're like, oh man, this is so cool. This is saving me money on my car payment. Like, you know, why wouldn't I do this? And then they, like, you're like, you know, take your car in to get it skinned, and it's like, I don't even know, like some penis enlargement spam email, but on car form, and just driving around in a car that looks like a giant dick to save $100 a month.
I mean, whatever.
Yeah, I guess. That's interesting though. I never heard of that. So Dashy Crashy, which is like still one of my go-to, just dumbass. I got 30 seconds to kill, like let me play this game games. They've got a recent update that adds all sorts of like crossy road stuff,
The chicken.
which yeah, you play as a chicken, right?
He plays
if
the
you if
chicken.
you unlock the chicken.
And yeah, you can you can collect a certain amount of coins to unlock the chicken permanently,
Yeah, it's
which
like 100 coins before December 20th, which should be pretty easy. Like they're pretty generous with their currency. But Dashy Crashy, I don't know, really good game. It's like
so fun.
it's an evergreen game on my phone. Like
Yeah.
it's, I don't know, like a serious go-to.
Yeah.
And actually, you know what? A funny thing about that. Like so, for whatever reason, I got really into Hold Down on the plane.
Oh, really?
Yeah, like I did. I did the thing where you like download 50 gigs worth of junk from Netflix, right? Because you just are like, oh my God, I gotta have every movie on the planet in case I
And
want to
then
watch
not watch
something
a
on the
single one
plane.
of
Yeah,
them.
don't watch a single thing, instead just play through Hold Down, which if you never played Hold Down, it was what the catch-up game was Balls with right with a Z. And then Hold Down came out, and I think like the Cool Kid Indie Crew like never saw Balls, so they thought it was like the coolest thing ever.
I think it was from the rimmed capsule guy.
Yeah, it was. So I don't know. I played through that. It's good, I guess, if you're into that kind of thing. Speaking of Cool Kid Indie Crew, Simogo has finally updated their entire game library for new iOS devices by updating Beat Sneak Bandit, which was the last remaining holdout, right?
I guess, yeah.
Not
Yeah,
including, oh, the Yerwak Companion is the last one, but that hardly counts.
they updated everything for like iPhone X. Remember this was like remember it was like iOS 11 came
Yeah,
and
these guys got
they
pinched hard by that, if I recall
so they
correctly,
went
right?
through and updated everything for iOS 11, got it all ready, and then like a month later the iPhone 10 came out and had the full screen, so they had to go back and re-update everything for the full screen. And now they have the XS and the XR, which have slightly different resolutions or something to where it needs an adjustment. And then the new iPads that have the curved corners and stuff like that, not everything looks right on those either. So they went through and updated everything again. So these poor guys, I hope these games still make them a good amount
Well,
of money.
you know what this means is that next week Apple is going to release a new screen size or
They'll release
something that
the
they're going to need to redo.
triangle-shaped tablet from the office.
Or better yet, it's going to be like, oh, iOS 13 breaks everything again. So go through and update all your games. So yeah, I don't know. Simogo stuff, like all their games are really, really good. If I had to put them in order of the ones I like the most, I don't know. Device 6 is such a strange game experience. It's like on the list of, it's like, it's hard to call it a game. It's more of like a puzzle experience sort of thing,
It's so
I
neat.
guess. But it's one of those things that can really, although I feel like they ported it to Steam and stuff eventually, right?
I don't think
I don't
so. I think it would
remember.
be difficult to play
But it's like one of
without.
those games that like really only works on like a mobile
Yeah,
device, which I
it's
always
so
think
cool.
is really
Everyone should
cool.
play. Sick.
Beat Sneak Bandit and Bumpy Road would probably be next then. You have to flip a coin for which one I like more between the two. Cosmo Spin was kind of, I don't know, I wasn't super into that. Neither, like, Split, I never could really get the hang of.
Yeah, me neither.
And then, I don't know, Sailor's Dream and Year Walk, I don't really have super strong opinions on because they're both sort of really wacky.
I like
And
Year
I
Walk a lot. Sailor's Dream is sort of a trip, but I think it's worth, experiencing.
yeah, they're
They're all good.
the kind of games where, like, if you really like the, like, obtuseness of Myst, I think you'll really like those games. So anyway, the Staronin Binary Stars update, which I believe has been on consoles and stuff for quite a while, right? It's finally coming to iOS in January.
Yes, I've been waiting for this for so long. And so the developer Pixel Nest has like a website. And so what they did is they released this game Staridin, which is an amazing shoot 'em up that we loved when it came out like last year or whatever. And then they went to work on this huge update and released it for all the different, platforms that the game was on. And so on their website, they had like a progress sort of thing. So you could click on it and it would show you which platform, how far along they were in getting the update to that platform or whatever. And iOS is at the very bottom and like the little progress bar is at the very beginning and it never like moved. And so as every platform kept getting this awesome update that I was looking forward to, I kept being like, where's the iOS version? And I eventually like tweeted at them or something and they were like, no, we're still doing it. It's just, taking a lot longer than we thought or whatever. And so every
That's
other
interesting.
platform has this update.
I wonder what game tech they're using that iOS was so involved.
I don't know. I don't know if it was necessarily that it was involved or that they were just busy with other stuff because they launched this game on the Switch and I don't know. I think it's a challenging thing. It's a two-person studio, so getting update stuff through Xbox and PlayStation, I know it can be kind of a huge headache with their like approval process and all that stuff. And
Yeah.
so I think it might be maybe just was at the bottom of the list priority-wise, and it just took that long for them to get there. But yeah, so finally coming in January, it's all finished. And interestingly, this developer is actually ceasing operations. This will be their one and only game that they ever do.
That's weird.
Yeah, I think I get it though, that it's not like a bad, a bad closing down or anything like that. They didn't have like a fight or anything. They just both kind of want to go in different directions. One of them's having a kid and stuff. And the way they put it is that this has been their life, this game Staridin, for 5 years. And I think they just kind of hit their limit where they're like, I really want to try to do different stuff. So it's kind of interesting. They gave us an amazing gift with this awesome game. So I'm happy about that. But it's kind of interesting to see them be like, okay, now we're calling it quits.
Yeah, that's odd, particularly if a game is popular and seems to be doing well and stuff, but whatever. I get it. Oh, so hey, as an aside, I wanted to ask you about this thing. I guess we can kind of like poll the audience too. If anyone has any strong opinions about this, you can either, I don't know, jump in Discord or podcast.touchrk.com, one or the other. So we always do like the best games list, right? Which is always just like one day. Well, I mean, I guess we do it before the holiday freeze, so it like stays up for a while. But it just is like one very overwhelming thing that like I feel like everyone looks at once. And I guess I got this idea from like you always see people on Twitter being like, "Oh, what's the best iOS games right now? Like, what should I get like right now, right?" And like particularly like so I usually search. Like Google or set up for like people just talking about like Touch Arcade in general, and then like that's where that'll pop up a lot. It's like, oh, just check out Touch Arcade, but like they don't really have like a good way. Like if you were one of those people who tweeted out, oh, what's some I'm going on a plane ride tomorrow. Like what iOS game should I what's some good iOS games? And someone tweets back like, oh, just go Touch Arcade. There's not really a great way for you to like find what would be like, you know, the pile of games you should look through. Right? I mean, like, you know, you can always link back to, and particularly like now, this time of year, like I like butting into that conversation and be like, oh, here's our best 100 games from last year with how fast mobile moves. Which feels really slow. And that would almost be kind of irrelevant. So I guess what I'm getting at is I wonder if this year it makes sense to do that, but as part of that exercise, kind of like split those games into somehow cohesive slash logical categories, and then just have them that exist as like perennial pages on Twitch Arcade in the, sidebar somewhere.
I don't think that'd be the a terrible idea to have a link that's like the best shoot 'em ups for you know, iPhone, the best RPGs for iPhone, and just kind of keep it updated as much as possible. Because I feel like that's what our hot games list used to be before everything just broke about it.
Well, yeah, it relies on App Shopper so much that an App Shopper is so janky now that like. But I was just thinking, because it's weird that, you know, so many games come out, and like I even have trouble when people ask me like, "Oh, hey, you're Mr. iPhone game guy. Like, you know, what are some good games I should get?" And I'm like, "How many games do you want to download?" Because like this week there was like 12 that were worth checking out. Like, and it's like, no. It's like the best like puzzle games, and it's like, well, I don't know. I really got to think about that. But like, you know, so
through 1,000 pages on my phone.
I guess my point is like this year, if we do the same exercise, but like as part of that, we break them out into sub pages as well. And then maybe go through, I don't know what would make sense, like how many years to go back and like cherry pick out games that are like still good and updated to add to those pages. But then like, I don't know. It's like a delicate thing too, because it's not like you would want to like, all right, like let me go to Touch Arcade and like click the best puzzle games list, and then it's just like 500 games.
Yeah,
you know, like that also seems dumb. So like, how would you work like retiring games from that list?
I don't know. I think it'd be nice to do our normal huge list of best of the year stuff, because I think that does get a lot of interest at the end of the year and people
I'm not saying we don't do that. I'm just saying like, you know, when we go through and like write all the descriptions and stuff like that, that can exist in multiple spots. And you know, maybe it makes sense to just do that kind of all year round.
Yeah.
And because like, you know, like when a game like, so let me see what I have in my iPad now to talk about this week. So like you know, best like I don't know, like best weird games to pull out on your phone at a bar list. Like Don't Trip would be like, because we would talk about that and be like, oh dude, this is like one of the best games to pull out on your phone at a bar, like let's, and then, you know, mental note and add it to the list.
I could see best one-handed games, best games to play in 30 seconds, stuff like that.
It just seems like we should have something that's more easily, I don't know, I guess we would need to, that's why I'm kind of curious if people think like, how many games should be on a list like that? How do you handle?
I think you probably limit it to 10 or 20, something like that. Like enough to where there's
10 would be hard.
10, yeah, it would be.
10 would be hard unless. Well, but here's the thing: like if we did 10, we could then do like highly granular categories, I think.
Yeah.
Instead of, you know, best puzzle game, it's like best. I don't even know.
Puzzle game with RPG mechanics, or best
best
fighting puzzle game, like
best like 2048 iteration kind of things. There's probably 10 of those that are really good, and
I've always wanted Touch Arcade to be sort of just this encyclopedia of mobile games, and having a feature like that that's not just like, hey, look at our page and just, you know, hit next 1,000 times and look through all our and try and figure out what's, you know, great or whatever, instead of just having just like nice resources to click on and get just an instant like batch of games to check out or whatever.
All right, so say we do that. Say it's like, I like the, I don't know, like the 10 weird games to play at a bar is a good example, you know, because that could be like Don't Trip. Like, what was the name of that? Remember the gymnastics game where you would like twirl your phone around?
I have to do some serious head searching. but I remember, like, Taco, Take Taki.
Yeah, I think it was Taki or something like that. And then like the games by, what was it, the Hidden Folks guy that did, like, was it Bound In, like the weird dancing game?
Yeah.
Stuff like that. So like, I feel like you could fill a list, like very specific lists like that. Yeah. But then say another game comes out, like say we had the list of 10 and like Don't Trip came out last week. Like, how do you retire a game from that?
I don't know. I think you probably figure it out, and you could probably, skirt the rules a little bit and say, like, we're trying to keep the 10, but God, if there's 12 and we can't decide on one to kick off, there will be 12, you know?
I guess at the bottom of the page, it could have like historical games that were on the list.
Yeah.
Like, I guess I'm just trying to think, like, because even our best of games list at the end of the year is overwhelming because there's just so many games, right? So it's like to go back to my original example of like the Twitter conversation where someone's like, oh, what are the best games? Oh, check out Touch Arcade. Like, oh, here's your best games of the year. It's like, this is no help to me because it's like, I like say I'm a person that just wants a fucking game to play while I'm on the train.
It's very overwhelming. Yeah.
And it's like, all right, here's a 100 list of all the best games that came out this year.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I think people have short attention spans.
Yeah.
Anyway, I don't know. It's just thumbed something.
I like
to think
the
on.
Yeah. I'd love to do something.
I like was thinking that. About that over the weekend, like, because I was like, oh man, we gotta start thinking about like. Oh, it was when you posted the iTunes freeze thing, which I actually have as.
Yeah,
I have it in here.
I did a big chunk of the best games of the year stuff. Got my massive list compiled.
Oh geez.
So we should be on our way towards another huge list of stuff.
I would be curious, like, so if you're just, musing, give that a think on, like, how many subcategories we can kind of divide that into. And I almost think it's not a terrible thing to get really weird with it. Because, like, at the end of the day, like, people, like, search for that kind of stuff. Like, I imagine that, like, you know, best one-handed iPhone games.
Yeah.
Could just be the title of the page.
I see a lot of things that's like best game to play with, you know, my grandma that doesn't play games, or like the best game to play with my kid that's 5 or whatever.
Yeah. Huh. So anyway, to link this back to news stories, the iTunes freeze this year is the 23rd through the 27th, which means, let me look up the calendar. 23rd
it's,
is
like Monday through Thursday.
It's Sunday.
So
we'll probably post our best of on the 21st, right?
What's that?
The Friday before then?
I guess, yeah. But I thought this was weird. This is the same dates as last year. And so last year it was like Saturday through Wednesday.
Hmm.
Isn't that weird? Like, why did they pick the same dates and just shift everything like that?
Yeah, I don't know. It's bizarre. Like, the iTunes free stuff almost doesn't feel as special as it used to. Like, remember, like, the first few years when it was like, what the hell's happening? Like, I can't upload anything to iTunes. And, like, oh, my God, the charts are frozen. I'm number 2, and now I'm a millionaire.
Yeah.
that was cool. And now it's just like, I think you can even, like, schedule price changes and all sorts of other shit. You just, like,
I think
they just, like, don't actively, like, approve anything.
Right. It's basically that. So it's not even really that big of a deal anymore. And so much stuff is automated now, too. It's like, whatever.
Yeah. So that's happening. And I would really be curious if anyone has any thoughts on the stuff that we just talked about. So, again, you know, pop into Discord. Jared and I are always in there. Or, hit us up. Do at Touch Arcade on Twitter. Pay attention to that, too. Or just podcast at TouchArcade.com. Whatever you feel like doing. Let's see, the Professor Layton and the Diabolical Box has been announced for iOS and Android, just in Japan, though, it's coming in December. So, didn't they, like, if I recall correctly, they stagger the releases of these pretty heavily between English and Japanese, right?
I don't remember exactly. I want to say that it was, like, a year and a half between one of them, but then it got better than that. I don't know. So, I'm sure this will hit, you know, the U.S. eventually.
Yeah, the game seemed to do really well. They still have a big fan following, and yeah. What I think is really cool is that these games are arguably better on touch devices than they like ever were on the 3DS, even.
Right. Yeah. I agree.
So I don't know. Really cool game. If you've never played the Professor Layton games, there. They're puzzle games with a bunch of different like mini game puzzles that,
yeah.
But they're not all super unique. Like there's like a bunch of different like types of puzzles, I guess is fair. Like, you know,
they definitely skew more towards like almost brain training type of games, yeah. Stuff like that.
Yeah.
But they're really fun. The stories are interesting. The characters are cool. All the cutscenes and stuff are really well done. It's a rad series. I like it.
I remember when this game first came out on the DS, the very first one, it had like so much full motion video on a cartridge based portable thing that just like absolutely blew my mind.
Yeah.
So definitely give that a look. So here's kind of an interesting snippet of Apple drama. So Fortnite, you know, you have player gifting now.
Mm-hmm.
Which I think you can gift, what is it? I don't know if it's V-Bucks or skins or just gifts in general. I don't know. I'm so terrible at Fortnite. I'm very bad and just lose and kind of get angry and whatever. So, the gifting feature is not on iOS though, because it violates Apple's policies that prohibit you from giving people gifts through games, which is really strange. Like I don't know.
I thought you could gift in-app purchases.
I thought you could too. That's what's very strange about how all this works. Okay, yeah. So when you purchase an item, you can buy it as a gift. So like if there's a cool skin on that day or whatever, I could buy it and then send it to you.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's really weird. Like I wonder what specific thing Apple is like, no, we're not doing this on our platform.
Mm-hmm.
But
seems kind of dumb.
Yeah, I feel like Apple would want to encourage people to play Fortnite on their platform as much as they can, and like,
yeah,
people are eventually going to buy stuff through the App Store.
I don't know. Apple gets a cut, so I don't see why they have a problem with it. But it could be one of those instances too where they wrote that guideline expecting a lot of, you know, abuse in different ways, and then never expected, like, you know, legit ways for it to be used.
Yeah.
And they have to go back and reevaluate it or whatever. We've seen that happen a million times, so maybe it'll happen someday.
Yeah, it's super possible too. Let's see. So Teen Titans 2, or I'm sorry, Teen Titans Go Figure, I guess this is the actual sequel title.
Yes.
It's getting a multiplayer update December 6th.
Yeah.
The Teen Titans game are really good, and if you've never played the first one, I'm almost kind of jealous of you, because like I feel like it kind of spoiled the sequel for me, and I didn't play the sequel that much.
Yeah. I had a similar feeling, although I still played through the sequel, but it was definitely a more of the same but better situation. But I played the first one so much, I was definitely burnt out. Even with the whatever year and a half or 2 years it took for the sequel to come. So I was really heavy into it for like a week and then slowed down. Whereas the first game, I was really heavy into it for like two straight months or something.
Yeah. I don't
but
know.
But people have been wanting multiplayer in this game forever. It's kind of like, you know, battling other players in Pokemon. So the fact that it's getting multiplayer is a big deal, I think. And maybe it'll kind of revitalize things.
Yeah. So it's $4. I don't think it has in-app purchases, or if it does, they're like unbelievably optional, right? I don't really remember between.
I think this one does, but I don't remember exactly what they are. But a lot of it has to do with like you can repaint your figures and stuff. Mm-hmm. So if you want to like spend money to do that more than you would normally be able to just through normal means, things like that. And I think you can buy loot boxes to unlock figures if you don't want to just, you know, buy them with the in-game currency that you earn normally or whatever. Definitely nothing is like required. So.
Right. So Super Cat Tales 2, among our favorite platformers, this would be on the best platformers list, I feel like.
Hell yeah.
We've got a winter update. It's a tiny content update, not a ton of stuff, like a few mini games to play and things like that. But it also has support for all the new iPhone screen sizes. So,
yeah,
a good game, getting better. Always love those stories. So this is probably the most predictable story of the year. Tomorrow Corporation announced that their latest game, 7 Billion Humans, it will be coming to iOS.
Yeah.
Which
we all figured that would be the case.
Thursday, December 6th. Yeah. These guys were like the king of the... this game is definitely a Switch and PC game. I don't know what you're talking about. It's not playable on mobile. This is an exclusive console PC experience. And anyone who thinks otherwise, I don't know where you're getting that idea from.
Right.
And, of course, it is coming to mobile.
It's cool, though. I love all their games. They work great on mobile.
Yeah, so they made World of Goo, Human... What was the calculator?
Human Resource Machine.
Human Resource Machine.
Yeah, this is almost like a sequel to that or whatever.
Yeah. Human Resource Machine was really good. Although I kind of got stuck in it and got frustrated and never finished it.
You got to be smart to play that game.
Yeah, I guess. Smarter I don't know. I was like really putting off. I was like, man, I do not want to look up like solutions for this. And then I kind of hit a point where it was just too hard and I just got mad and I never went back to it. So, if you like that. And you wish it was more. 7 billion humans seems to be exactly what the doctor ordered. Man, I'm going to have to go through and try to play that. Maybe, you know what? Maybe I'll just to get like, so what makes these games so good is that they're always like very good puzzle games, but they have like this weird sort of like overarching universe / story that takes place in them. That's really just told through these like ultra, ultra, ultra brief cutscenes between levels and just like kind of like general vibe of the game. So, I wonder if I can, I'll just look up all the solutions and just input the solutions just to see kind of like the little cutscenes to then get into this when it comes out.
You know what you can do, and I've done this before, is you just watch a playthrough on YouTube.
Oh yeah, that's not a bad idea either.
Kill a couple hours, finish a game, basically.
That reminds me, there's a subreddit called like, I don't know, it's like Games the Movie or like Game Movies or something like that, where that's like actually what they do is... And probably won't exist for this. They like play through a game, but cut out all non-story driven gameplay stuff. So like, God, I don't remember which one. I think it might have been like one of the, like the new. It was one of the Uncharted games I never played because I didn't have a PlayStation 3, but had the Uncharted for the PlayStation 4, and was like, I don't even know what this game's about. So I watched it. Someone cut together. It was like really cool because it was like all the cutscenes plus parts in the game where there was like important dialogue all mixed together.
Yeah, that's a really good idea.
So yeah, I don't know why people spend so much time doing that, but good on them. So Endemic Creations, the dudes behind Plague Inc., are releasing a brand new game on December 6th that kind of sort of seems to be sort of similar, with the theme being kind of like a political / military simulation.
Yeah,
which seems apt given the current climate of the world right now. So I'm really kind of curious to see how this goes. I know Plague Inc., although you know it was not the original Infection game, I feel like has become the best one through various updates and things like
Big
that.
Time.
So I don't know. It's kind of weird mixing. Mixing politics and video games, but at the same time, like that's been done to great effect with games like Papers, Please. And
well, the funny thing about this game that I say in this story is like, I almost am like, I'm almost more hesitant to play like a political game like this than play a game where you're like eradicating all of humanity.
Yeah.
I was like, I feel more comfortable just killing all of humankind than trying to, you know, manage like insurgents and stuff like that. I don't know. It's just a touchy sort of subject, but I don't know. I'm interested to see how they do it. And you know, like I says, if it's an awesome strategy game like Plague Inc. is, I mean, the theme can almost be anything. It's just a fun game loop that's really hard to stop playing. So
yeah, for sure. So let's see. Sage Solitaire, which is a totally free game by Zach Gage that you should have on your phone right now. Best free solitaire games. Best free card games would be the list that this goes into, I think.
Best games of all time.
Well, yeah. Siege Solitaire is really good. Just a kind of interesting twist on Solitaire. It got a massive 2.0 update, which let's see, what did this add? It's a new game mechanic.
If you play Paga Run Pool, it adds the instant tournaments from that, which is basically they lay out like one sort of deal of cards, and then everyone in the world plays that same one, and then you can kind of see how well you do against everyone else. And then to kind of spice things up, they've added this 5-card bonus sort of mechanic where you get like a bonus multiplier the more hands that you make in a row without having to like trash a card to make a hand. Which is kind of like a really unique sort of thing, and kind of like a neat incentive to try your best instead of just relying on like, trashing a card without thinking about it too hard or whatever. So really cool, like definitely like a huge refresh. And even this is a game I played obsessively. I couldn't believe it came out in 2015. It feels
Yeah,
like this game is still new.
that's always
But
crazy when you look up like when games came out
yeah.
that feel new, and it's like, holy shit, that came out 5 years ago? Like, what the
Yeah.
hell?
Totally blew my mind. I was like, Sage Solitaire, that was 3 years ago. But so anyway, definitely gives it a really new feel. And so even if you've played this game to death, it's worth checking out again and checking out the instant tournament stuff.
Yeah, for real. So let's see. Well, here, we'll do this one first. Keep accidentally hitting that. So if you followed all our coverage about old school RuneScape, it's really, really cool old school MMO that is very, very, very hardcore with loads of depth and everything else. But kind of comes with the caveat that being a old school RPG, if you played, the games of kind of like the late 90s, early 2000 era, when kind of these kind of like online games were new, like there's almost no hand holding in this game. Like you play through like the briefest of brief tutorials, and then you're just kind of like out in the wild and you do whatever you want. And that's cool. And I really like games like that. I have not had the time to play old school RuneScape since it came out, or as much time as I wish I did. And the time that I have spent has been like learning how these like weird little systems in the game work and stuff like that. And they Jagex, the developers, released a series of videos called Noob's Guide to Old School RuneScape, which there's different videos on, just kind of like the overall introduction and like how the interface works, how the quest system works, how the skill system works, and how combat works. And like, I really wish that I would have watched these before I started playing, because I've spent like, so if you watch like all the videos, it'd be about 40 minutes, and I have spent 10 times that figuring all this shit out, and I still learn things when I watch these stupid videos. So.
That's always the worst too, though. Like I remember going through that with Minecraft, where that's a game too, that's same sort of thing, where it's like you don't know what the hell's going on beyond like the very basics. And even that was like, I remember watching like a 79-part YouTube series or something on like getting started in
Yeah.
Minecraft. But it made all the difference. And I always hate games like this where you go and you put in tons of hours and you're playing and you learn all this stuff, and you get to a point where you're like, damn, I kind of want to start over with all this knowledge I have and do things differently the second time around. So it's kind of nice to learn that stuff beforehand. This is something I definitely need because I have no idea what's going on in this game.
Yeah, Minecraft's a really good example too, because like I played that game for the longest time before I even realized that like you could make like armor for your guy.
Dude, there's shit I still don't know in Minecraft that's out there that, I mean, I could probably keep watching tutorial videos on that game forever.
The crazy thing though is like if you talk to someone who's like 12 years old, they could
They
literally
know it
tell
all.
you about things in Minecraft for as long as you're willing to sit there and listen.
Yeah.
And you will never hear the same thing twice.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know how that game has so much content.
Yeah.
Anyway, so I think the this takes the cake for the craziest slash most biggest bummer story of the week, which is Elder Scrolls Blades has been pushed back to 2019,
Yeah.
which
It's kind of not surprising. So when they pushed it back that first time from September to December, I was sort of suspect that it would actually launch by December too. And then they at one point, it's not there anymore, but the app description was updated to say when it launches, it's going to be a invite-only test launch sort of thing or
Yeah.
whatever. And so I kind of thought it would be like how Fortnite launched you know, it actually launched in the App Store and you could download and stuff, but you couldn't actually play it unless you got an invite. And so I figured it'd be something like that. And so kind of what I'm thinking is that they are going a different route and aren't going to do like as public of a thing as like a test period like that. And instead, the early access people, which you can get a chance at getting early access by signing up at their pre-registration page or whatever, I think they'll probably just send out like test flight links to certain, you know, emails and stuff like that. Do something that's more behind the scenes. But I kind of think that they had it in their mind that this wasn't going to be the final game launching in December either.
Yeah.
My gut tells me they showed it off at E3 and probably weren't happy with some of the things they were hearing about it. And I kind of expect a sort of major overhaul of it.
But at the same time, like, I don't know what has gone wrong with, like, the way that people kind of, like, refuse to accept what a developer did with a video game.
Right.
And, you know, like, I've been seeing this a lot with, like, Fallout 76 and shit. Like, I don't know when this changed where, like, someone releases a piece of content, and that piece of content really doesn't matter if it's, like, a TV show or movie or book or video game or whatever else. And there was a time, and this was most of my life that I remember, something like that would come out. You know, maybe you were looking forward to it and it turned out to not be kind of what you were hoping for or whatever. Mm-hmm. And you're just like, oh, well, whatever. I'll watch something else or play something else or do something else or whatever. And now it's like, if a piece of content comes out that you were excited for and it is not like almost one-to-one with like your wildest dreams of what that thing should be,
you need to burn it to the ground.
Yeah, it just needs to be fucking burnt. And like anyone that has anything to do with it is just needs to be flamed off the internet and like all this other stuff. And so I never really know how much like emphasis to put on like the criticism that this game got in its E3 demo.
Yeah.
Because like when we tried it, we didn't go to E3 this year. We went to PAX instead. So we tried it a little bit later. Yeah. I don't know. I thought it was really cool.
I think it's cool for what it is and what they're trying it for it to be. I think my biggest criticism was that the combat was really bad, but that's any Elder Scrolls game.
Yeah.
But like, I don't know. I'd rather them wait and get this thing right than just put it out there and have it be like a stinker and then everyone's arguing about it like Fallout 76 right now.
Yeah, which, man, how much have you been following that drama? Because holy shit.
It's dumb because, like, I get it and I think a lot of the criticism is warranted, but also, like, they're going to fix it. It's Bethesda and it's one of their biggest franchises, so they're not going to just let it stay broken. It's probably going to take some time. And you see that happen more and more nowadays. And on one hand, yeah, it sucks. But on the other hand, it's like, as long as they come around to fixing and making things good, then it's fine. And like a hyper online connected game like Fallout probably needs some real world, you know, beaten up so they can figure out what's going on with it and tweak it and fix it. It's not even something that I think they could have figured out with like a beta test or whatever. So, I don't know. The world we live in is sometimes you're a living beta tester for games that you paid for.
The bigger problem is I feel like people have gotten too used to like how good some publishers have gotten at different online services. Mm-hmm. Like, for instance, like when you buy the new Call of Duty, like, you know that on day one when a million people are playing it, like it's going to work. You're going to find matches, like you're not going to have lag, like everything is just going to be good. Like, you know, you may have like a few problems, but it's not going to be crazy. But like it wasn't always like that. You know, when these games you know, like when the first Halo hit Xbox Live and stuff, like it was fucked. Mm-hmm. It was fucked for a long time. And, you know, so this is like Fallout 76 is like Bethesda's first like big online thing. And I think that anyone that wasn't expecting it to be at least slightly fucked, like has not been paying attention to video game history. Not to say it's an excuse, but
the most annoying thing to me is that there's a lot of people out there that despite all the issues are like, I'm still having fun with it.
It's me.
And people are getting fucking destroyed.
I know.
Where it's like, how dare you be having fun with this game?
I know.
And it's like, who cares? Like, there are more important things to be mad about.
I know. I was talking to a friend of mine over the weekend who, is like really on the I hate Fallout 76 train, and I'm like, dude, I don't know what to tell you. Like, I've been playing, I'm having a good time. Like, I just, you know, I was looking for, you know, just a game, the, you know, Fallout game to diddle around with friends online. Like, yeah, I'm running some bugs and stuff, but it's like, you know, it's just something to do while you bullshit and voice chat. And like, their take on that was like, well, you have to say that because, you know, you know Bethesda. And I'm like, no, not at all. Like,
the silly thing about this Elder Scrolls Blades is like, there's a lot of people hyped for it, and I get being disappointed when games get pushed back or whatever, but there's people that are literally like, well, Bethesda has lost my trust forever. Yeah, they've totally broken every promise, and they cannot be trusted, and they're terrible people, and I was really excited for this game, but now, even when it does come out, I will not play it.
Yeah.
And it's like, okay, that's...
So, more than a few reactions.
You wanted
reactions.
To play this game, you were looking forward to it, and now just because it's coming out later, you don't want to play it, and you're not looking forward to it. And, okay, that makes no sense to me. Like, why deprive yourself of a fun game? What if it comes out and it's awesome? Or you'd be like, nope, I have my principles. I will not play this game because it was 6 months later.
Yeah, I don't know. I feel like people like that, like if that person tweeting that at Bethesda, and then Bethesda's like, oh, all right, well, if you say so, we'll just release it now. And then they release it on the App Store now, and it's like a buggy piece of shit. They're not going to be like, oh, well, thanks for doing the right thing, Bethesda. It's going to be like, oh, what do you know? Another pile of shit from Bethesda. The makers of Fallout 76, the worst game in history.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, it's a no-win situation for them.
Well, if you no, exactly. If you went back and you asked everyone that's mad about Fallout, if they were like, hey, if they delayed it a year and fixed everything that you have an issue with, would that have made you happy? And you'd be like, no, I'd be fucking mad. It was delayed a year. I'd burn them to the ground.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know. It's just kind of the way it is on the internet, I suppose. But yeah, so here's a question. Is anyone going to be mad if we end this podcast a little early? I have a major plane throat and I am out of water and am feeling it in a big way. So I think we're a couple minutes ahead of an hour. So I apologize for that, but, really appreciate everyone listening to Touch Arcade Show, sticking with us, and everything else, Patreon backers, especially people who shop on Amazon. You guys are number one, I guess tied for number one. But seriously, like, if you made it this far in the podcast and you're still kind of like ruminating on how we should handle these kind of like best of pages, like hit us up in Discord or on Twitter or podcast.com or whatever. I mean, because like ideally, like, we want these to be like the kind of things that are set up in a way that like the people that listen to this podcast, when their friends ask them like, hey, what's the best thing to play on the subway that doesn't require internet connection? You can be like, mm-hmm. Oh, well, there's actually, they have a list of 10 games that are like the best games just for that. Like, here you go.
I'd love that.
So let us know what you think the process should be. Like, what should qualify, what gets, you know, how we handle like, tweening something off the list if, you know, or whatever. So
we'll figure it out.
But with that, I'm going to go spend the rest of the night drinking tea and hoping that this, whatever's happening with my throat, is not something more than just me being really dried out from sitting on a plane. So with that, I hope everyone has a fantastic weekend, and we'll catch you next week on another episode of the Touch Arcade Show.